Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our broadcast this morning. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles as I preach this message, I'll be preaching from the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter, the Apostle Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians, and I'll be preaching from chapter 15, the first few verses of this chapter. And the title of the message is the phrase, "According to the Scriptures." According to the Scriptures, this is a phrase that Paul mentions twice here, once in verse 3 and once in verse 4. And what he's talking about is the gospel and how he preached and how these Corinthians claimed to believe the gospel, but not just any gospel. What Paul preached and what they claimed to believe was the gospel as defined according to the Scriptures. And the Scriptures refers to the Bible, the Scriptures that they had at this time, which would be a lot of the Old Testament. And Paul says this is how we define the gospel. It's, like I said, it's not just any gospel. You know, there are many different gospels. The Apostle Paul mentioned, for example, in Galatians chapter 1, he said, "If we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which we've preached unto you, let him be anathema." You know, people come along and they claim they preach the gospel. Well, how do you know they're preaching the gospel that is defined and distinguished in the Scriptures? Because there are false gospels. He told the Corinthians in the second book, the second Corinthians, in chapter 11, he said, if they come to you preaching another Jesus, another by another spirit, another gospel, then he said, you don't have anything to do with them. And that's, if they speak not according to this word, Isaiah the prophet said, it's because there's no light in them. So when somebody says we're preaching the gospel, well, are they really? You've got to test the preachers. Now, how do you test them? By their sincerity? No. By their manner? Somebody says, well, he's such a nice person. You know, I've heard that so many times. Well, there's a lot of nice people on this earth. But there are a lot of nice people who don't believe the gospel and don't preach the gospel. Now, the word gospel means good news. And the gospel's not good news. The true gospel is not good news to everyone because it crosses their natural way of thinking. That's why the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The gospel is the light or the truth of Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead, those historical facts. But it means more than that. And the Apostle John wrote in John chapter 3 and verse 19 that this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. At gospel, that's Christ, the light of Christ, His person, His glorious person, and His finished work to redeem His people from their sins by His death, burial, and resurrection. And He says that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness and hated the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. And what he's talking about there is that people who are trying to be saved by their deeds, their works, by being good people, being nice people. Should we be nice people? Yes. We all should be nice and kind and loving and generous and moral. But the gospel tells us, the true gospel tells us, that's not going to save us. Because salvation is not by works, it's by grace. So the gospel is the good news of salvation for sinners, those who realize their state of sin and death and who realize that they have nothing to recommend them unto God. In other words, if God were to judge me, or if He were to deal with me on the basis of my works, I'd be damned forever. And my best efforts to try to be saved by my works are evil in the sight of God. Their deeds were evil. Remember in John 3, 19 and 20. Why are they evil? Because they're immoral and insincere? No. They're evil because they do not measure up to the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and applied to sinners by His grace, His righteousness imputed. And anything less than that denies the glory of God. Anything less than that calls God a liar. That's why it's evil. Well, look at 1 Corinthians 15. Now, Paul had already dealt with many issues in the church at Corinth. They had a lot of problems, as we all do. But some had left the gospel. And Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." This is how, by the grace of God, true believers stand with the gospel. And he says in verse 2, "by which also you are saved." The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Romans 1:16. "If, or since, you keep or hold fast in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, is there a believing in vain? Is that talking about people who are saved and then they quit? They don't stand fast? They don't keep in memory the gospel and now they're lost? No. First of all, when he says, "if you keep in memory," again, it could be translated, "since you keep in memory." In other words, since you persevere, and which proves you're preserved by the grace of God. But there, it's not a conditional if. This is not something, well, you'll be saved if you do this. It's an evidential if. Keeping in memory, persevering in the faith, continuing to believe the gospel is an evidence of salvation and preservation by the grace of God. And I've said it on this program before, and you do well to keep this in mind. If you are truly saved by the grace of God, brought to Christ through the Holy Spirit's power in the preaching of the true gospel according to the Scriptures, if the Holy Spirit has given you a new heart, you've been born again by the Spirit, evidenced by believing in Christ as He's distinguished and identified in the gospel according to the Scriptures again, not just any gospel. There are false Jesuses, false gospels, false spirits. If you truly believe it, if you've been born again, you cannot deny it, you cannot ignore it, and you cannot leave it. You'll never leave it if you're truly saved. Now, if you leave it, you've never been truly saved. That's what the Bible teaches. I've pointed this out a number of times on this program, and I always go to 1 John 2:19. You could go to other passages. The 1 John 2:19 says they went out, the spirit of Antichrist is here. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. So anyone who claims to believe the truth, if you claim to believe the gospel, but it's a false gospel, that's evidence you've never been saved. You've never been born again. But if you claim and give mental agreement and claim and profess to believe the true gospel and then later on forsake it, deny it, apostatize from it, fall away from it, you never believed it to begin with. You just had a mental impression on your mind. Well, Paul says in verse 3, he says, "For I delivered," 1 Corinthians verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received." Now, Paul's saying here, that this gospel that I preach to you did not originate with me. When I was in seminary, and I was an unbeliever when I was in seminary, we used to talk about Pauline theology, the theology of Paul, Johannine theology, the theology of John, Petrine theology, the theology of Peter. Well, my friend, these men were apostles of Christ. They looked to Christ. They rested in Christ. They pled His righteousness, His blood alone, for their whole salvation. They didn't have different theologies. And Paul said, I received this from God. In Romans 1, he called it the gospel of God. In Galatians 1, he said, the gospel that I preached to you. I didn't receive it from man. I received it from God. Now, God may use a man to preach it to me, but it didn't originate with the man. The man's just the voice, as John the Baptist said, the voice crying in the wilderness. We are ambassadors for Christ. If we preach the true gospel, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're preaching the authority and the power not of ourselves, but Christ. Too many men who claim to be preaching the gospel, the ministry is all about them and not about Christ. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, Christ must increase. And that's what I want you to do when you hear this program or watch this program. I want you to look to Christ. Don't look to me. I'm just a voice. I'm just a signpost pointing you to Christ. And so he says, first of all, that which I also received, and listen, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then verse 4, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, the facts, the historical facts of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ are essential to the gospel message. The gospel message that preaches who Jesus Christ is. Who is He? He's the Son of God incarnate. He's God. The second person of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal in every attribute of His nature to the Father and the Spirit. He's God. And He's God who became manifest, incarnate in human flesh. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He's God. His name shall be called Jesus, Matthew 1:21. For He shall save His people from their sins. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us, Matthew 1:23. And the historicity, as they say, the historic fact that there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth who was born of a virgin, conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit without the aid of man, born of that virgin, Mary, and all that the Bible says, laid in that manger, taken to Egypt, and come back to live to Galilee and Nazareth in that area, grew up in wisdom and stature, and then came on the scene, was baptized by John the Baptist, walked the earth in complete, strict, perfect obedience to the law. These are all historical facts. And one of the things that Paul is really relating here in 1 Corinthians 15 is that Christ died. He actually died on the cross of Calvary on Golgotha's hill, the place of the skull. And He was tortured and he was tried and falsely accused, tortured, put on that cross. He died. And after He died, He was buried. His death was no fake. You know, years ago they came across with this idea that it was a hoax, that He didn't really die. And therefore, when He appeared later, it wasn't a resurrection from the dead, but it was just a hoax. It was no hoax. And Paul talks about that there. He says that in verse 5, He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, seen of above 500 brethren at once. Later on, Christ walked this earth after His death. So He died. He was actually buried. He actually died and was buried. And He arose again the third day The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. These are historic facts of the gospel, and you cannot preach the gospel without preaching these historical facts of this person, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who came to this earth, who lived, who died, was buried, and arose again the third day. And you cannot believe the gospel without believing these historical facts. But here's what I want you to see. If all you believe is the historical facts of what I just said about the life and death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, you haven't believed the gospel. The devil, listen to me, the devil and his angels, his fallen angels, they know that there was an actual person who came to this earth, that his name was Jesus of Nazareth, that he walked this earth. The devil tempted him on the Mount of Temptation. And the devil and all of his fallen angels, they know that Christ lived, that Christ died, that Christ was buried, and that he arose again. They know that, but they don't believe the gospel. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, verse 3 again, look at it. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, who is Jesus Christ? God manifest in the flesh. He had to be both God and man. Why did he have to be both God and man? Because before the foundation of the world, God chose a people to save and gave them to Christ. He put all of the responsibility of their entire salvation and eternal well-being on the shoulders of his Son, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. That's called the covenant of grace. And Christ willingly, voluntarily agreed to do everything necessary, meet every requirement, fulfill every law, fulfill every stipulation that it took to ensure their salvation completely. And what did it take? Well, look at it. He says, now this is the details of the gospel. He said how that Christ died, not just that he died. Yes, he died. But he didn't die as a martyr. He was a martyr. But that's not really what his death was all about. He didn't die just as an example. Certainly he was an example. If we're believers, we're to emulate him. We're to follow him. We're to seek to be conformed to his image. But that's not why he came and died. Why did he die? He died, look at it, for our sins. That's why he died. And who's the our there? Whose sins did he die for? His sheep, his people, the ones whom God gave to him. They are the ones who will come to faith in Christ. Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in the Christ of the Bible? The one who's described and identified and distinguished in this book according to the Scriptures. Because if you do, you can know that he died for your sins. I can't look at everybody out in the TV audiences and in the audiences I preach to and say God loves you and Christ died for you. I can't do that because the Bible doesn't say that. I can tell those who believe the gospel according to the Scriptures. God loves you. Christ died for you. Now, could I be wrong in that? Yes, but that's no matter. That's not an issue here. The issue here is how that Christ died. Why did he die? For our sins. Now, that means that he died as the representative of a people. He represented a people, the people whom God gave to him. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He died for his sheep. John 10:11, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's what he said. His church, he purchased his church. What is the church? Those whom God chose, those who are justified before God based upon Christ's righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to them, those whose sins are forgiven based on the blood of Christ, those whom he redeemed, those who the Holy Spirit calls out by the preaching of the gospel, in the new birth and gives them a new heart and brings them to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. That's who the church is. That's who He died for. He died representing the people. He died as a surety. That means all of the sins of all of God's people, all of Christ's church, all of God's elect, were imputed, charged, accounted, reckoned to Christ. He took their sin debt upon Himself. He became responsible for their sins, legally responsible. It was a sin debt, and He said, I'll pay it. And then He was our substitute. He took the place of His people. In order to pay that debt, He had to die. That's the penalty. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to pay the penalty of the sins of His people. And He paid it. He died for their sins. That means He satisfied the justice of God. He's the substitute. He's the redeemer of His people. He paid the ransom, the Scripture said. And He secured their salvation, and it was all according to the Scriptures. And to prove that He really did die, He was buried. And then He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, His resurrection. Sin demands death. Righteousness demands life. When sin being imputed to Christ, the sins of His sheep, demanded that He die on that cross. He had to suffer, bleed, and die to pay the penalty. And because He paid the penalty in full, because of who He is, God manifest in the flesh, He was able to do this. And because He paid that penalty in full and established everlasting righteousness for His people, they must be saved. They must be given life. They must live eternally in the bliss of communion and fellowship with God. Not one person for whom Christ died can perish. And if you perish, that means He didn't die for you. You say, well, then it doesn't matter what I do. I don't have to believe or anything if He didn't die. No, you're not God. That's God's business. You're to do what God commands. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto God. The revealed things belong to you. You're responsible for what you hear in the gospel. The gospel is a command. Look at Romans chapter 1 over in verse 16. I quote this verse all the time. But it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul writes, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You're commanded to believe the gospel. Now the natural man, which is all of us by nature in our natural state, born in the flesh, born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, having fallen in Adam, we're born spiritually dead. The natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. These things are spiritually understood. And that's what the Bible says. We will not come to God of our own will. We have to be given a new will. But still, that doesn't deny the fact that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do you believe it? Do you want to believe it? Well, He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Somebody told me one time, said, well, it doesn't matter if I come to him or not, if I'm not elect. No, he has never, listen, God has never turned away any sinner who comes to him seeking salvation his way. Not your way, not my way, but his way, the gospel way. And the gospel way is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. Look at verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified, sinners saved by grace, the elect of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, His sheep shall live by faith, by looking to, resting in Him, for all salvation, for all forgiveness, for all righteousness. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. What is the righteousness of God? Well, that's what He accomplished in His death, in His burial and resurrection. The righteousness of God is the entire merit, value, and worth of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer, and intercessor of His people. It's His merits. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You see, salvation is not about my worthiness. It's about my unworthiness. Salvation is about Christ's worthiness. It's not about me working a righteousness. It's not about me having a righteousness within. It's about Christ working out all the righteousness that God requires of me on that cross as my surety, substitute, and redeemer. The Bible says, for Christ, Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's why He died. That's why He was buried. That's why He arose again, according to the Scriptures. And we're to believe unto righteousness by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, how that He was buried, and how that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Listen to the Bible. Read the Bible. That's the key. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Therein is Christ revealed as the Savior of His people. There's no other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And how do I know that He established righteousness by His death? He arose again the third day. For as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the gospel is the revelation of that. If you preach the gospel according to the Scriptures, that's the case. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.